I could just close right now and say the sermon has been preached right there in Psalm 73. Because this really is the point of the message. Many times we struggle with our circumstances and comparing ourselves and our difficulties to the perceived prosperity, perceived comfort, or comfortability of the unbelievers. I say perceived. I say also, as a believer, Christian, be careful what you wish for. I would not recommend wishing to switch places with anyone, whether they're an unbeliever especially, but also another believer. God has given you your portion, and He is your portion. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let's pause for a word of prayer before we go further on this theme. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. We confess, Lord, that we struggle. There are many times that we don't count our blessings, we count our problems. And we fret and we complain and we have a pity party for how hard we have it. And while acknowledging that life is difficult, we ought to acknowledge constantly that you are sufficient and your grace is our strength in time of weakness. And what you have done for us is so wonderful that we ought to, the wonder and thanksgiving of it ought to swallow up the hardship and the complaining, the temptation of it. Lord, I pray that you would remind us of these truths, that what you have done for us in Christ is more wonderful than we even comprehend fully. And it is so wonderful that it swallows up the difficulties when we have the right perspective. I pray that as we are reminded from your word of what you have done for us, I pray that our complaining spirit would be washed away. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever read the book Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day? You ever read that book? Just a few of you? Oh man, it's a great work of literature. It really describes a typical day sometimes. So you can go to your local library and check it out. No, I didn't bring it to read it to you. But I do want to reference it because this little boy has a very bad day, starts off bad, ends bad, and he wants to go to Australia. But his mother tells them that even people in Australia sometimes have bad days. But sometimes we have one of those kind of days, don't we? We miss your alarm. Woke up with a headache, burned breakfast, it's raining outside. The check engine light came on, the children are driving me crazy, the dog had an accident in the house, I spilled my coffee, my phone died, the Packers fumbled again, somebody unfriended me yesterday, I received bad news from a loved one, I can't pay my heating bill. The Badgers lost again. I hit my shin on the table. I lost a button on my shirt, forgot my lunch. I had something in my teeth and I didn't know about it. Nobody told me. My best friend didn't respond to my texts. My contact lens fell out of my eye. Somebody ate the last donut and I didn't get one. I got a stomachache. Forgot to renew my subscription. My hairdresser said, oops. The car repairman said, this is going to hurt. The Packers fumbled again. It's supposed to snow this week, and I can't afford a plane ticket to Australia. So sometimes you have one of those days, right? One of those days. And sometimes some of those things happen, but not all, and sometimes it seems like the world is falling apart. And I could have a raise of hands if you've had one of those days. All of us have. Maybe it's today. But I guarantee it was recent if it was not today. I know, you got an extra hour of sleep, so all's well, right? Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 is where I want to focus after giving you a little bit of humor in our complaining. Paul says, here's what I pray for you, that you would give thanks unto the Father. And then he goes on to list what he's done. So when we're tempted to complain, sometimes we have a pity party. And at the same time the saying's true, misery loves company, sometimes we don't want certain people invited to our pity party. Because there's certain people that might tell us that we're just complaining again. And we don't want to hear that. We want to enjoy the pity party good and long. But sometimes God has ways of saying, wait a minute. You forgot about something. Think about what I've done. You ever had that reminder, whether it be in your own heart from the Spirit of God or maybe some good friend that said, wait, you forgot. Let me tell you what God has done. Now, a lot of times Christian radio or different maybe the Daily Bread or some devotional or in your own Bible reading, God has a way of reminding us. But we forget pretty easily, don't we? Especially in one of those days. But I want to look at this brief passage of Scripture and put it in perspective of what God has done in comparison and contrast to what our circumstances are many of the times. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. God has given us, this is why we're thankful, God's given us a new status. He's qualified us. You ever gone to a building that was unfamiliar and it was a privilege to be there because you were invited? And you felt kind of out of place. You had your ticket, you had your qualifications, but you still didn't feel like you belong. And you get that look from somebody like, who are you and why are you here? And then somebody else comes along and says, hey, good to see you. Come and sit over here. The range of emotions when you are there and in some way you know you belong, but in another way you don't think you belong. And then somebody says, I'm glad you're here. Come over and sit with me. Now, if you were to go to heaven without proper qualification, you would realize very quickly that you don't belong. But as Christians, one day we will go to the most glorious place imaginable, far beyond our comprehension right now, and we will be welcomed by someone who says, I'm glad you came. Come, enjoy the joy of the Lord and the glory of the Lord. We have a new status. On the other hand, our previous status, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. This is our previous status. Again, when you're tempted to complain, I encourage you to think along these lines. Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That was our status, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. That was our pattern. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was our status. Ephesians 2, verse 4, as glorious as every John 3:16. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were the children of wrath and the children of disobedience, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I remember as a little boy, I visited the place where my grandpa worked. He worked at Carver Pump. It was a machine shop, worked there for many, many years. And here I am, probably 10, 11 years old. Do I belong? No. Did I even know where to go? I went over to Grandpa's work area. He showed me around. And then there was this gathering. I think it was a day to honor Grandpa. But he and all his co-workers were there. I didn't know any of them. He knew all of them. And he introduced me as his right-hand man, and they gave me a round of applause. Did I deserve that? No. But I was there with my grandpa, and he brought me in. He said, he not only belongs, but he's my right-hand man. Isn't that what Jesus does? What's our badge? Children of wrath. And yet Jesus, through his great love, gives us a new status. He says, child of God. We have a new status. There's not a lot of room for complaining in that scenario. Colossians 1 verse 12, he's made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, a new inheritance. What was our inheritance? What did we qualify for? What did we inherit from our previous status? Well, we inherited death and judgment, condemnation. And now we have a completely new inheritance. You know what your inheritance is? Do you know that at the end of the road, what you will inherit eternal life? Well, you already have that. But you will inherit your eternal home. And it's far greater than you can imagine. It's not even possible to imagine how wonderful and glorious it is. That's your future. That's your inheritance. You say, well, my inheritance only comes when my loved one passes away, and I don't know what size that inheritance will be. I guarantee you do know what size that inheritance will be. Greater than you can even comprehend, that's what. And that loved one has already died to provide that inheritance. That's what God has done for us, a new inheritance. Thirdly, a new kingdom. Verse 13, he hath delivered us from the power of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, of course, referring to Satan. We were in his kingdom before Christ made us a part of his kingdom. That is Christ's eternal, glorious kingdom. He's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, his beloved Son. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Well, when we by faith take Jesus Christ and we say, I'm identifying with him, you know what God says about us? This is my beloved Son. You are the Son of God. John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We're no longer children of darkness. We're children of the light. We are a king's child. We are part of the kingdom of the King of Kings. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a wonderful passage. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan wants to keep you in his kingdom of darkness. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is what he has done for us. We were in the kingdom of darkness, and he shined, the same one who said, "Let there be light" in the beginning. He said, "Let there be light in that heart, the light of truth, the light of the gospel." He says, "I'm going to take you from that kingdom of darkness. I'm going to translate. I'm going to transfer you into the kingdom of light, of eternal and glorious light." We are part of his kingdom, and his kingdom never passes away. And our status in that kingdom never is expired. Furthermore, we have a new master. Our master is now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but also this master is the one who has redeemed us, in whom we have redemption through his blood. To redeem someone means to buy them back. We are his possession. He's the one who purchased us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know ye not that you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. We are under a new master. Instead of the master who is also called the Prince of Darkness, now we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the eternal God, the God who says, God is love, God is light. We are under his reign. We are under his authority. We have been redeemed through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And through that forgiveness, through that blood atoning, and our faith in Jesus Christ, we have a new life. A new life. And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. By grace are you saved through faith. We have new life. Your soul that has been born again through Jesus Christ, that soul will never die. You have eternal life already. This body, this shell, will pass away. And that's actually a good thing, because after that you will receive an eternal body that never will experience pain or corruption or any sorrow. But while this body dies because of the corruption of sin and the penalty, our soul is eternal, being born again by his power. We will be resurrected like him. We have a new life, eternal life. So one more verse very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I explained, and we spent some time here a few weeks ago. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Again, the theme of thanks. It says, "But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, the Bible says, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For what are we thankful? In this passage, we find that we're thankful for a new status, a new inheritance, a part of a new kingdom. His kingdom. We have a new master, and we have new life, eternal life. So I hope, if you write down at the bottom, we have a new perspective. Instead of being swarmed under by circumstances and hardships, we can be thankful. And the strength is in the joy of the Lord, because he is our portion. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Well, with that said, we're going to take the time to remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross, his broken body, his shed blood. So I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. This is how all these things can be true. It's Jesus' death on the cross, and then, of course, his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Before we take a minute to examine our hearts and prepare our hearts, I want to explain once again that this ordinance of the Lord's table is broader than one local church. It's part of the body of Christ. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, or walking in obedience to him, then you are welcome to join at the table. Not because we qualify you, but because Jesus has qualified you. So let's take a minute to pray and prepare our hearts for this act of worship.